Unusually, this is a standalone podcast. It's a bit longer than normal, a couple of minutes longer, but I hope you enjoy it. It's been on my mind for some time. It's a powerful speculative history that uses the concept that we're all familiar with about hitting bottom, not for ourselves, but for AA as a whole. So the title of this podcast is The Day AA Fell. It's July 31st, 2031. It's the fifth anniversary of corporate AA's bankruptcy, which the world remembers as the day AA died. But for Harold and Daryl, sitting in a sun-drenched booth over lunch, and AA's across North America, it was a major step in the emotional sobriety of the fellowship. The warnings have been there for decades, or certainly years, like the tremors before a tectonic shift. For years, many had thought the New York office had been bloated. Management was haunted by a pension hangover and tethered to a falling revenue model, selling physical books that were bleeding out in a digital age. Many felt that the New York office and the General's Conference had become a distant cathedral, more interested in protecting its copyright than in carrying the message. Wallets in the basement rooms had snapped shut. On July 31st, 2026, the wall arrived. New York couldn't roll over its debt. They couldn't pay the rent, and they couldn't meet payroll. The doors were locked. The shadow world of bankruptcy had claimed the very organization that taught the world how to survive it. The media became a shark tank. Social media was a frenzy of I told you so's, with critics pointing to the bankruptcy as proof that the 12-step model was a relic of the past. Major networks ran obituaries for Alcoholics Anonymous. Daryl recalled his phone call to Harold that day, breaking the news of the bankruptcy. I can remember that call like it was yesterday. Both of us were shocked, dismayed, and afraid. We needed each other that morning. Ah, but do you remember that? How the phone call ended? Harold replied, a grin tugging at his mouth. Daryl laughed. I do. We spent 10 minutes mourning the death of a multi-million-dollar organization and then concluded by, we'll see you at the meeting tonight. They had arrived at their regular weekly meeting that night to find Steve already there. The lights were on, the chairs were in a circle, the coffee was brewing, acidic and hot. The regulars trickled in, faces pale, clutching phones with news alerts about the New York collapse. Everyone was anxious and terrified. The bankruptcy dominated the chatter before the meeting. Daryl recalled, I remember. We all stood for a moment of silence to start the meeting, to remember the suffering alcoholic. We took that moment, and I swear you could feel the room relax. And then I remember you read How It Works, and halfway through, right around the part about rigorous honesty, it hit me. The New York office didn't keep me sober. This room did. This book in my hand didn't need a corporate seal to tell the truth. While the lawyers in New York were fighting over the desks and filing cabinets, the fellowship was moving. Within days, word had spread. The meetings hadn't stopped, not one. The bankruptcy acted as a controlled burn in a forest, clearing the deadwood to allow for new growth. The first thing that happened, the archives were liberated. The trustee in bankruptcy had no interest in historical junk. The foundations for Dr. Bob's house in Akron and Stepping Stones in New York swooped in, rescuing the soul of AA and launching a global AA recovery museum based on AA and the 12 steps. And the copyright finally went to the people. A couple of wealthy members bought the copyrights and released them to the public domain. The whole approved literature war ended. Suddenly, there were big books for indigenous communities, living sober editions for women, and translations that didn't need a committee's permission to exist. There was an explosion of literature and new books. And regional revival. With the New York tax gone, intergroups became the new hubs of energy. Local offices transformed into recovery bookstores, vibrant, profitable community centers that sold everything from Emmett Fox to the latest recovery memoirs. Daryl said, "I remember that lady at the first post-crash intergroup meeting. She said, 'Intergroup is officially irrelevant. Let's talk about the drunk down the street.' The whole room clapped and cheered." The bottom, as it turns out, was just the beginning. As they paid their bill, Harold looked out the window at a world where AA was growing faster than it had in 50 years. A recent Gallup survey showed membership was surging. The 2030 International in St. Louis had been the largest gathering of alcoholics in human history. "You know," Harold said, folding his receipt, "we celebrate our sobriety dates, the day our personal lives went bankrupt. Why were we so surprised that the fellowship had to do the same thing?" Daryl nodded. "We had to lose this organization to find the movement again." They walked out into the July heat, two men saved by a program, not an organization. The end wasn't the end at all. It was just the first step. So that's my little essay on the bankruptcy of AA. If you'd like copies, they can be found on the fourthdimension.ca website. Hope you enjoyed this podcast and would love to hear your comments. Thanks.